The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
You're listening to 91.3 FM KUAF Public Radio in Fayetteville. And this is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, May 17th, 2017. I'm Mitchell Necrojeda. 91.3 is supported by Highlands Oncology Group, helping patients fight the battle every day with a team of cancer specialists in both Benton and Washington counties. Services include American College of Radiology certified imaging departments, infusion centers, pharmacy, clinical trials, and more. HighlandsOncologyGroup.com. Support for 91.3 also comes from Westwood Gardens, featuring locally grown plants and offering a variety of annuals, perennials, herbs, roses, trees, and shrubs selected to perform well in Arkansas summer heat. WestwoodGardens.com. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, the annual rainfall in Conway is above the national average, and a team from the University of Arkansas is helping the community deal with all of that precipitation. That's just ahead on Ozarks at Large, but first, the big story of last week was President Donald Trump firing FBI Director James Comey. In a statement, Senator John Bozeman said he wants to see a full explanation as to the circumstances of Comey's dismissal. Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business and Politics recently asked the congressman to elaborate.
No, I'm a transparency guy. I think that the sooner the better. When you look at Director Comey's record in the sense of keeping us safe, he's done a tremendous job there. We can be very, very proud of that. The world is full of threats, and a lot of those are focused right here on the United States. That's been their job. And again, the agency with all of the men and women working so hard at the FBI, they've done a tremendous job. I think that probably Director Comey had become a distraction. It depended on what day of the week it was, what week it was in the sense of Republicans attacking him because he wasn't doing enough on this or that investigation, Democrats attacking the same way. I think that was the crux of it. But I really would like to hear the president, I'd like to hear his people, Department of Defense, come out and explain exactly why it was done so suddenly, what was in the report that was prepared for the president, and then kind of go from there. The next step also is very quickly getting somebody in that we all agree is a person beyond reproach, somebody that Democrats, Republicans, most importantly the people of the country can get behind is heading the FBI, this very, very important agency.
Senator, could you see something in that explanation that comes out of why he was fired so suddenly? Would that change your mind as to whether or not there should be an independent investigator, an independent investigative committee, an independent counsel of some sort following up with this Russian investigation?
Well, I think right now, there's evidence that the FBI certainly is investigating. They're going forward. Again, getting a replacement for Secretary or Director Comey is important in that regard. So that's an ongoing process that I think is, that they're doing a good job. I've got all the confidence in the world in Richard Burr, Senator Warner from Virginia. They're working very, very hard. What I'd like to do is see the outcome there, and then we'll go, from there, depending on the circumstances. But I don't think anybody has said that there's any politics playing there. Senator Burr was pretty strong on his statement, again, wanting to know exactly what went on with the Comey firing. So I think that's the route to go for right now, and then, we'll see what happens.
But you're open to an independent investigation at some point in time, particularly if you see this following along partisan political lines. Would you be open to an independent investigation if it appeared to you that this was becoming highly partisan, which, quite frankly, I feel like it already has?
Yeah. Well, we're a nation of laws, and so, again, I'm a guy that believes in transparency. I believe in doing the right thing. Right now, I'm content that the Intelligence Committee that is chaired by Senator Burr is doing the right thing. I think they're working very hard to get to the truth. Certainly, there's a lot of partisan politics involved, but not with the investigation that they're doing. So right now, I'm content. Certainly, if circumstances change, I'll be constantly, weighing what we need to be doing. But right now, I think we're in a good position.
Last question on this topic here, but just in a little bit more general terms, in terms of how the Republican Congress has, in many people's eyes, circled the wagons around a Republican president to protect him from, a lot of these controversial issues, not just Russia, but some of the other things that are going on in the government as well. Do you see how people have come to the conclusion that Republicans are putting party over country? Do you see how they can come to that kind of conclusion? And what would you say to those folks?
Well, I'd say that really, when you look at it honestly, there's all kinds of partisan politics going on. It wasn't very long ago at all that the Democrats were screaming the loudest that they wanted to get rid of Director Comey. He was terrible, this and that. The litany was great. Now it's just the opposite. This is this wonderful person. How could you get rid of him? Certainly the president has the authority to do it. Myself, several others have said, look, let's talk to the American public about why it was done, why it needed to be done, why it had become a distraction. But I think there's lots of politics being played on both sides. And at the end of the day, what I have to do is just weigh, where we're at, what's correct. But I do think that the president was within his bounds. And so far, when you look at the Russian investigation and all of that, there hasn't been any evidence that President Trump has been involved. I think that's something that pretty much everybody agrees with.
To your point about Democrats screaming for James Comey's resignation or to be fired, I mean, at this point in time, though, they've actually been calling for an independent counsel. They weren't necessarily calling for him to be fired, per se. So, again, just kind of back to my question, I'm not sure I heard an answer
on
this.
Do
you see how people could come to the conclusion that Republicans are putting party over country?
I think it depends on where you're at to begin with when you look at what's going on, but before this, there were many Democrats that were calling for Director Comey to step down. Now, because the fact that the president's fired him, then the Democrats have completely changed. So, and you had some of the other side. There were other people that were on the Republican side that were upset with him because he wasn't pursuing the leaks like they'd like for him to see. He pursued the Huma situation, not following up on it like they'd like to see him be more aggressive. So the decks have been cleared. We need to get somebody in place that everyone has confidence in, and then we can go forward.
It seems like with all that partisanship you just outlined, though, that person that would have integrity and people would be feeling would be more in control of a situation would be somebody independent and nonpartisan. Yet I'm hearing you say you're comfortable with the Republican-controlled Senate Intelligence
Not necessarily.
Committee.
The Justice Department would be the one that appointed that individual, so that's not necessarily true. And I'm sure if the investigation went the way the Democrats felt like it should go, then they would be singing his praises. If it didn't go the way they wanted it to go, then they would be very, very negative about and, claim that the Justice Department had selected somebody that was not the person that should be in place. So right now, I'm very content with Richard Burr, Senator Warner doing the job. Let's back off. Let's see what they come up with and then go from there.
That was Senator John Bozeman speaking with Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business and Politics. You can hear more from that conversation at talkbusiness.net. Support for Talk Business and Politics on Ozarks at Large comes from AT&T, challenging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And Arkansas Manufacturing Solutions, providing executive-level leadership and management consulting services to Arkansas companies in the areas of innovation, exporting, operational excellence, and sustainability. More information at mfgsolutions.org. With easy access to tons of travel websites, you may have never used a travel agent to book your vacation. However, the profession still exists.
With the evolution of the internet, obviously, clients are able to book their own airfare. And our whole business has shifted from the airline tickets, corporate business, to the leisure travel. That is our bread and butter today, where our expertise is, what I enjoy doing. And that's all your river cruises, your escorted tours, your honeymoons, your family trips. That's 99% of our business these days.
The evolving world of travel agencies, coming up later on this edition of Ozarks at Large. Speaking of the times changing, remember when the students with the perfect attendance got certificates for that achievement? Well, students at high schools in Bentonville and Rogers had the chance to win a car. The vehicles were donated by McLarty Daniel Dealerships as part of their annual Attendance is the Key program. Yesterday, a student at Bentonville High School and another student at Rogers High School each wrapped up the school year with a new car. Ozarks at Large's Susanna Sitek went to Rogers and has this report.
A band, a cheer squad, a crowd in the courtyard. The Rogers High School Mounties pulled out all the stops to find out who will drive away with the Jeep Renegade that's been on display the whole school year. Principal Louis Valons was in charge of the lottery drum, and one by one, he pulled out student names.
I'll spin it till you say stop!
The students had perfect attendance either all year or two or three quarters.
James David Whitten or Jimmy!
Once Principal Valons drew out 10 names, each student was given a key, but only one would start the Jeep.
Start that car! No!
That happened one, two, three, four times until it was Jimmy Whitten's turn.
I'm gonna do that!
Jimmy is a class favorite. All of the kids love him. He tries so hard and works so hard in class, and he works so hard to make friends around the school that I think that you see kind of how he creates an atmosphere just showing up. And I couldn't be more proud of him.
That's Jimmy's teacher, Mr. Chris Wan. He says Jimmy has Down syndrome and learns all of his subjects with 14 other students in a special education classroom.
I wish that we could all have the spirit that some of these guys have that do have Down syndrome, in that they enjoy life every day and they don't worry about as many things as we do. And I think that's an unbelievable characteristic to have.
Mr. Wan says he's been teaching Jimmy for the last 3 years, and the new car will be some extra motivation for Jimmy to pass his driver's test.
He takes driver's test all the time with me.
Yeah.
And fails them, but I will tell you, he's trying hard. That's the whole idea, you know, is to do it over and over, and not that he can get out on the interstate, but the fact that maybe that he could get on the side roads and be able to drive for them. If they took him somewhere, that he would, you know, at least have the, you know, certification to be able to do that, and then the basic skills just to be able to kind of drive around. And now he has a car, of course, and so even if he can't drive it, like I told him a minute ago, he has a car now to say that is his own.
Juan says Jimmy will graduate next year and plans to get a job. He and Principal Valons agree Jimmy will be missed.
Everybody's in Jimmy's corner. Jimmy's in everybody's corner. He is one of the most loved students in our school. He exerts a positive influence every single day by showing up, spreading cheer. He comes most every day, as perfect attendance shows, and then he visits a lot of lunch tables. I will say that if you're an attractive young lady, you have a better chance of being visited by Jimmy than not. But he visits all of our students, and we're we're just thrilled for Jimmy and his family.
Vallon says the car was only part of the school's plan to boost attendance. He says it's something a lot of high schools in Arkansas and around the country struggle with. So this year, Rogers High put together a task force to tackle the problem. Then Vallon says McLarty Daniel stepped up and offered a very tangible incentive.
We are in a process of running a comparison between last year and this year, but we already know based on our preliminary numbers that there is a dramatic improvement on its student attendance.
Vallon says good attendance in high school has benefits way beyond those 4 years.
You know, attendance, developing those positive habits early on, reinforce great workers and great people in our community and a better just an overall positive contribution to our community.
And at least for Jimmy Witten, it also means a brand new car. That's all his.
They have the belief. Jimmy's honking a horn.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Zuzana Sitek.
The 9 students who didn't get the winning car key each got a $100 gift certificate. McLarty Daniel will give away 2 more vehicles next week at Rogers Heritage High and Bentonville West High School. The company also plans to continue the Attendance is the Key initiative next year.
What you hear on KUAF is powered by contributing listener support. Thousands of listeners to this public radio station give annual or monthly gifts to help pay for the programming you enjoy every day. If you have not given a gift this year or have never given a gift to KUAF, you can do so right now at supportkuaf.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. The city of Conway, collaborating with an interdisciplinary team based at the University of Arkansas, has designed an urban watershed plan, the first like it in the state. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
The northern half of Arkansas has been deluged by enormous amounts of rainfall in recent weeks, breaking in some places 100-year records. In Faulkner County, nearly 6 inches of rain fell in just a few hours the night of April 29th. Inundating parts of downtown Conway, a place plagued by stormwater surges. Scott Grummer says modern urban topography is to blame. He's Conway city planner and president of the Lake Conway Point Remove Watershed Alliance.
Well, we just dealt with it. Right now dealing with years of development for the way that it's been done, it tends to run off into the streets and into the drainage system, and Now we're seeing that those systems are not being able to handle the capacity that's going through them.
Conway, population 64,000, receives 51 inches of rainwater annually, 30% more than the national average. The city's bound by the meandering Arkansas River to the west and Lake Conway to the southeast, a man-made reservoir.
We're looking at both improvements to our existing drainage structures as well as implementation of different types of strategies that the university has developed for us.
Scott Grummer is referring to a team at the University of Arkansas Fayetteville, which designed the Conway Urban Watershed Framework Plan. The project was initiated by inquiries from the city of Conway to the Arkansas Natural Resources Commission, which assists municipalities with securing federal funding for problem water issues. Marty Matlock, executive director for the Office of Sustainability at the University of Arkansas and ecological engineering professor in the Biological and Agriculture Engineering Department, helped to develop the watershed plan. He says to manage water, we have to consider pre-settlement conditions.
And so the landscape stores water. The landscape stores water. Some water that when storage is full, the water runs off and becomes stream flow and then river flow. When we build modern structures, cities, transportation systems, etc., we pave over those systems.
Referencing such topography, Marty Matlock, along with Stephen Luoni, executive director of the University of Arkansas Community Design Center and professor of architecture and urban studies, have come up with a watershed management plan for the city of Conway.
What a lot of communities do is put the city on top of the watershed. So there's an inherent contradiction. Both systems or both networks are battling for the same land area, and they have different sorts of metabolisms, they have different flows, they have different logics. And so rather than see them as mutually exclusive, as an ecological engineer, as an architect and urban designer, we're trying to figure out ways that they both could coexist where the terms of one can actually empower the logic of the other.
With grant funding from EPA, 20 UA experts worked with the City of Conway, the Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality, state politicians, and residential stakeholders to devise a comprehensive watershed management plan.
But we also formed a watershed alliance, which gives the community the capacity to manage the watershed, not just locally, but also a larger 1,000-square-mile watershed.
Stephen Luoni shows us the 80-page watershed plan inside the Design Center conference room in downtown Fayetteville. The framework plan introduces things like riparian corridor improvements, green streets, runoff mitigation, art parks, urban eco-farms, conservation neighborhoods, and parking gardens, to name a few. Marty Matlock says the watershed plan requires the city to develop model ordinances first, however.
What we want to do and what we did with this project is we provided a language of solutions for the people who live in the watershed, and then they can develop from that language, they could develop a portfolio of solutions for their problems, working with local engineering and local city management and local development communities.
The Lake Conway Point Remove Watershed lies at the junction of four distinct ecoregions in Arkansas, so the varying topography was taken into consideration. Stephen Luoni.
This is a 42-square-mile sub-watershed. And as Marty mentioned, you know, most of this is private property. We operate in a market system, so you can't do a master plan. Master plans only work when you have full control of all the property. But since most cities are all private property, you begin with the infrastructure, the streets, the parking lots, the streams, the right-of-ways, and figure out how to deliver green services in that. Then provide alternative development templates for farms, for shopping centers, for housing, and incent developers and property owners to build those in a way that's sympathetic to watershed stewardship.
Luoni, Matlock, and Conway City planners held several charrette stakeholder meetings last year to map out the plan with community consensus.
The challenge of that is to work through the posturing, work through the sort of the articulation of the issues you're trying to protect, and that requires technical competency in the problem. You got to know what you're talking about, and that's where we came in. It also requires a legitimacy and the ability to actually accomplish something. And so that's where our state agency partners and the city partnership was so critical, is because that gave legitimacy to the fact that what we were doing could lead to an outcome that mattered. It could change something. And so then eventually what we evolved to was from protection to promotion.
Conway's urban watershed plan calls for the construction of intermittent rain terrain. City planners have picked out a derelict industrial site as a pilot spot. Stephen Luoni.
We build mounds. We hold the water. We in a counterintuitive way, we look for ways to draw the water up through the landscape. We plant phreophytic trees, cottonwoods, willows. These are trees that suck water up at enormous rates. In fact, an acre of these type of trees can sequester 1 million gallons of water a year, and in our environment, evapotranspire it. So we have a landscape and a kind of plant community, a guild, let's say, a guild of plants that work together that sequester water. So you could walk through a landscape that's holding water and resolve, at least partially resolve, some of the flooding and water management issues and give us a different type of landscape that's novel but still urban.
The Conway Urban Watershed Framework Plan, which could serve as a model for Arkansas municipalities coping with stormwater runoff, will by late summer be published as a handbook.
And apparently there's a huge market for this. You know, we started this book and this report because we as designers and engineers didn't really know what an urban watershed management plan looks like as far as a design. Usually they're driven by data and policy, but we do these books because as designers, there are no examples out there.
Conway City Planner Scott Grummer says he's contracted with an engineering firm to start construction of the city's first rain terrain on the old scrapyard site on Markham Street.
We're about to start the brownfield remediation of that site, and then once that's done, we'll begin the conceptual designs with the university through an NEA grant that we were approved for the challenge that Conway, as well as any other city, has is trying to implement these strategies in ways that are sensitive to the overall cost of putting these structures in, as well as long-term maintenance, being that this would be a testing ground, and we're trying to go lightly to make sure that we don't overstep our bounds when it comes to the long-term impact to the city from a fiscal standpoint.
But Scott Grummer says controlling stormwater upstream helps everyone living downstream. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To learn more about the Conway Urban Watershed Framework Plan, you can find a link at our website, ozarksatlarge.com. For KUAF News, I'm Antoinette Grajeda. As expected, Governor Asa Hutchinson is seeking a second term in office. The Republican, who has already been raising money for his campaign, made it official yesterday. Though in an interview with our content partner KUAR in Little Rock, he said he won't kick into campaign mode just yet.
First of all, I'm going to get back to governing. I have a lot of responsibilities to carry out the initiatives that we've started. And next year, as the campaign heats up and increases closer to the election, then I will announce a more specific vision for the future in the next 4 years.
Hutchinson said he wants to expand on tax cuts he's championed and efforts to create more jobs in the state. No one else has announced their candidacy for the office. Also yesterday, Governor Hutchinson requested the Arkansas Development Finance Authority secure money for residents forced from their homes by the recent floods. In a letter the governor sent to ADFA President Aaron Burks, the governor asked Burks to secure up to $5 million through the U.S. Housing and Urban Development Administered Home Investment Partnerships Program. Tomorrow evening, Representative Bruce Westerman will host a telephone town hall meeting. If you'd like to participate, you can sign up at his website, westerman.house.gov, to receive a call tomorrow. Westerman will also be broadcasting over Facebook Live. You can watch that video at facebook.com/REP Westerman. The town hall will begin at 7:10 tomorrow night. More than 6 miles of the Bella Vista Bypass is opening to drivers today. The completed two-lane section connects U.S. Highway 71B to State Highway 72. A temporary two-lane roundabout has been constructed as part of the project to provide access to the bypass, as well as Interstate 49. A much larger interchange is designed and ready to be constructed. It will connect the bypass to I-49. However, the Arkansas Highway and Transportation Department is holding off on that project until Missouri is ready to extend its portion of the bypass to the state line. A medical marijuana cultivation facility will be built in Fayetteville if the Central Arkansas businessman who wants to build it is approved for a license from the state. Last night, the Fayetteville City Council voted to sell a plot of land in the Commerce District in the south part of town to Brian Fott. Fott told Ozarks at Large's earlier this month he's been working on his application to the state for months after he became interested in the medical marijuana business when a measure narrowly failed in Arkansas in 2012. The State Medical Marijuana Commission will start taking applications for cultivation facilities on July 1st. For now, the commission will only give out 5 licenses for cultivation facilities. Fott says he's hoping to be one of the 5. He says he's also looking into opening a dispensary in Fayetteville further down the road. The Artist Fair Festival Orchestra, featuring over 90 musicians from around the world, presents the Artist Fair Festival Finale Concert May 20th at Walton Art Center. The performance will include works by Berio, Dvorak, and Dorman under the baton of Maestro Corrado Riveras. Tickets available at 443-5600 or artistfairfestival.org. 91.3 is supported by Dog Party USA, providing supervised boarding and daycare for dogs of all sizes in an off-leash environment. New obedience and agility classes are forming now. Information available at 306-4660 or dogpartyusa.com.
This week on Morning Edition, Congress seeks answers from Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein over the firing of FBI Director James Comey, and there is concern about the agency's future.
There is, in my estimation, unquestionably an erosion of trust And the hypocrisy here is rich and it's a mile deep.
The FBI and what's next for investigations into Russian election hacking. Listen every weekday to Morning Edition.
You can listen to Morning Edition tomorrow morning from 5 to 9 a.m. here on KUAF 91.3. Memorial Day weekend unofficially kicks off summer vacation season, and millions of people will be flying to faraway destinations. Many travelers will do the travel booking and preparations online. But there was a time when we picked up a phone, a landline, and asked a travel agent for help. We wondered if travel agents were still out there. Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums asked the Ozarks at Large explainer, Dave Edmark, if there is still a need for travel agents. Dave says while there aren't as many travel agents as there used to be, there are services they can provide.
In the years before the internet, anybody who did not want to spend a lot of time on the telephone wrangling with an airline reservations clerk could instead go see a travel agent, and you could walk in the office and say, give me a ticket for an airplane, ain't got time to take a fast train, or well, probably
something like that.
Probably nobody really said that. But the point was, you did this because the travel agent had a computer at the desk, and this was kind of novel back then, with instant information about flight schedules, prices, and information that the rest of us would never really know about unless we made a lot of phone calls to a lot of airlines, wrote down all the details, compared the notes at the end, and tried to figure out what to do next.
Right.
But now, of course, people can find the schedules and reserve the seat all online. So that led us to talk to Francis Mayo, who owns the long-standing Around the World travel agency in Springdale. And we asked her, all right, given all this as far as what we can do on the internet, what can you do at a travel agency that the rest of us can't?
With the evolution of the internet, obviously, clients are able to book their own airfare. And our whole business has shifted from the airline tickets, corporate business, to the leisure travel. That is our bread and butter today, where our expertise is, what I enjoy doing. And that's all your river cruises, your escorted tours, your honeymoons, your family trips. That's 99% of our business these days.
Okay, now you heard Frances Mayo just tell her that her travel agency in Springdale has mostly gotten out of the business of just selling you an airline ticket unless you're willing to pay an additional fee for that service. But she keeps up with what's going on around the travel industry, so I asked her if that is now a standard practice at agencies elsewhere.
I would venture to say, based on my knowledge, less than half of travel agencies are still issuing airline tickets. And I will say we do still do some air. We have a few corporate clients that I can charge them as much as I want to charge them. Our current fee is $50 a ticket.
Also, before the days of the internet, you might remember, the cost of buying an airline ticket from a travel agent was usually no more than reserving it over the phone directly from the airline would have cost. And most of us assumed that back then the airlines were paying the agency a share of the price, and so that's how everybody made some money off of this whole thing. But now, travel agencies, of course, as we've mentioned, they're facing competition from the internet. So I asked Francis Mayo, is anybody doing it that way anymore? And apparently not.
That model is definitely out the window. And despite the advertising you see, for the most part, the price of the airline ticket is the same, regardless of the Expedia, a travel agency, the airline's website. There's just a lot of variables in there. If you're looking at apples to apples, the exact same flight, same dates, the price for the most part is always going to be the same. Now, if you might save $50 if you're looking online and, you know, the flight's getting in at midnight versus the flight I quoted that gets in at 2 o'clock.
Now, also with a travel agent, there are the packages. It's not just about the airline, but maybe they can find you a bed and breakfast or something like that, right?
They can do all kinds of things. It depends on just how much you want done. And, of course, they also have access to plenty of other pieces of information, such as if you are just looking around online for your own flight, you may notice that this afternoon, the price may be one figure. You check around a few hours later, check back on it, and it'll be different tonight. And then tomorrow it can be completely different. And so you may be flipping your coin or many of the coins. So you have to wonder, do agents have a way around that situation, or do they have a way of finding better deals, is what I asked Francis Mayo.
Yes, the one thing we can see that you can't necessarily see online, for example, if you have four people traveling and you put four people in the reservation on the American Airlines website, if there's only three seats available at the lowest fare and you've asked for four seats, it's going to automatically kick you up into the higher fare. Where the reservation system I'm looking at, I can see that there's only three seats on that flight. So I may suggest an alternate flight that has four seats at the lowest fare, or we've even done the trick, hold the first three tickets at the lower price and then just pay the higher price for one ticket. Where online, it's not, you know, it's going to show all four prices, all four seats at the same price.
Back to talking about some of the extra services that the travel agents can provide. For instance, if you are wanting to book a hotel room with a flight, or if you want to get a little more exotic and book a complex trip package, such as a cruise or safari or any number of things, tours, okay, we know that the travel agents can do that for you as far as just getting your tickets, getting your reservations, right, and all that. But then I asked Francis Mayo, what services can an agent provide after the trip has begun?
2 weeks ago, when there was the thunderstorm had gone through Atlanta and the Atlanta airport was shut down for 14 hours, that was on Wednesday. I had clients traveling to Cozumel on Saturday, and the Atlanta airport was still a disaster. We even on Friday looked at trying to get them to Atlanta Friday night. That didn't work. We just had to see what would happen Saturday morning. And, you know, I was literally on the computer at 4:30 a.m. with the clients trying to come up with alternatives. We spent several hours. And unfortunately, they just ended up, we couldn't get them there. We couldn't get them anywhere. I, on their behalf, canceled the entire trip. Because the airline could not get them to the destination. That trip was April 8th. They've already received a full refund for that trip. And I have a hard time believing with an online vendor that would have all happened that quickly.
Yes, there are special services or booking procedures that an agent can also provide for international travel. Now, as you know, you take your passport out and go somewhere, and things can get more complicated than just even the hassles of domestic flying. So once, if someone is taking a trip to another country, I wanted to know from Francis Mayo to Around the World Travel, what can an agent provide, or what services can an agent provide that the customer wouldn't know about or wouldn't be able to do on their own in the international arena?
I think one example of that would be several countries now requires that if you're a U.S. passport holder, your passport has to be valid for 6 months after you return. So if you're traveling on June 1st, your passport has to expire after December 1st. I've had several instances with clients when I make them aware of this, all of a sudden they look at their passport and it expires in September. I don't necessarily know if that would have been a big red flag online that you could have easily have shown up at the airport and been denied boarding.
Have you ever traveled to a country where you needed to get special shots or take medicine?
No.
I haven't either.
No, my only overseas trip was to Britain, and that was medical requirements.
I just wonder if you're going to some country that name a disease or condition that might be more prevalent. Because you've heard that, right? People have to get shots before they go to certain places. How do you even know about that?
Perhaps you need to ask your travel agent.
Okay, all right. Or maybe your family doctor.
Or ask the doctor, too.
Yeah, that's a good one, yes.
All right. Now, last November, there was a USA Today article about the travel industry, and it said that the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that the nation now has about 70,000 full-time travel agents.
Fewer than the city of Springdale.
Indeed. But 17 years ago, in the year 2000, this country had 124,000 travel agents. And you may notice, okay, back in the year 2000, that's about the time that online booking and just enhanced use of the internet began to catch on. So, as far as the existing remaining travel agencies, we were wondering, what do they do to compete with the remaining competitors in this environment?
When I purchased my agency, it's been 27 years ago in July, there were seven travel agents. There were seven travel agencies in Springdale. There's now me, and there is one person that's doing some home-based stuff that I've heard and mentioned occasionally. So it is amazing how the competition has changed as far as other travel agencies. You know, how we make our living is strictly off repeat and referral business. I do virtually no advertising. It's strictly based on reputation. I have my good, faithful clients, and then they refer, or they have some folks travel with them, and then they reach out to me for their next trip. And I've also seen it evolve some, that there were some definite clients when the online became so popular. And like, you know, I hadn't done anything for them in a couple of years, and I bet they've been somewhere. And a lot of those that tried the internet have come back.
Back to that USA Today article I was mentioning a moment ago. It also spoke of the demographic use that has the highest usage rate for travel agencies. And that was millennials.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes. In the year 2015, 34% of them, millennials, reported using a travel agent, more than any other demographic age group.
More than boomers.
Right.
What?
Now these are, of course, you know, these are people who are not old enough to remember, like we are, when many more people were using travel agents all the time, and there seemed to be one on every corner. So, taking it local, when I was talking to Frances Mayo at our Around the World Travel Agency, I asked her, okay, around here, is this age group showing up in large numbers at your business?
Definitely. And I think the number one reason is time. You know, that generation is starting careers, is busy, they're starting to have kids. And they don't have hours and hours and hours to spend on the internet. And like I said, in a lot of those cases, it's kids that they grew up going on family trips that their parents used to travel agents. So they're familiar with travel agencies. Or they are out visiting going, man, I'm trying to plan this trip. And, well, why don't you call Francis? Why don't you call another travel agent? I think the number one reason we're seeing that with that generation is simply just the time it saves them.
And finally, one other angle about the travel agency business as it exists today. We spoke about how there are fewer of them standing around, and most of them that are there are local businesses. There aren't you have to look far and wide and probably into the big cities to find any that are part of a national chain of travel agencies. And so Frances Mayo at Around the World Travel told us that she sees businesses such as hers, her local travel agency, as an important part of the local economy in whatever market they're serving.
The one point I always have to make when we're talking about travel agents is, you know, everywhere we turn around, there's the keep it local movement. And I don't think people think of their local travel agent in that respect. But, you know, these vendors I work with, obviously, they pay me a commission. That's how I make a living. You know, if you book your trip on Expedia, who knows who makes that money? When you book it with your local travel agent, you're helping the local economy. That's money in my pocket. I had a guy that owns a local restaurant not too long ago. I say, now, just tell me, why should I use a travel agent? And I said, I could go through all of the service, the expertise. I said, the bottom line is so I have money to eat in your restaurant. And he got it.
All right. I want to ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot here. If I had the ability to give you 3 weeks and an unlimited budget to go anywhere in the world, but you got to leave tomorrow, where would you go?
I have to leave tomorrow.
I don't know. That just seems like
a
fun spin to put
on. Well, I think I'd fly immediately. directly to Europe and do as no, much.
It's one place. You're going to have to spend one. You're going to have to spend these 3 weeks in one place.
Oh.
No tour of Europe or around the world.
Sorry. I thought I was going
well,
to
Well, I didn't specify, but
I'm
now
sorry.
I am.
I had a three-week tour in mind.
No.
But.
So one place.
That being the case, I think I would think about that a lot more.
Oh, okay. You're not
I had a whole list of places, but now you've put me on the spot. I guess I would still do somewhere in Europe, but I've got to, like I say,
south
narrow
of France,
that down.
Yeah. The Mediterranean.
But 3 weeks, yeah. Well, yeah, if we're going to be 3 weeks, I'm probably not going to do the Shetland Islands.
Very good.
Dave Edmark is the Ozarks at Large explainer, and he spoke with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums. With help from the Environmental Defense Fund, Walmart is working to reduce its carbon pollution in its retail supply chain.
Given the climate, particularly with the federal government right now, I think it's increasingly important for companies to continue to lead and innovate. I think they have the power to really change the planet for the better and to prove that, you know, businesses and people and the environment can thrive, that those aren't competing interests. And so we're really excited to see this this Project Gigaton challenge that Walmart has put out there, and we hope many suppliers will join in and continue to show that leadership, and we're excited to be there to help them every step of the way.
Details on Walmart's plans to reduce its carbon emissions by 1 gigaton annually on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and I have gone down the hall to the Harold and Blanche Koch News Studio to speak with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis. Welcome.
Welcome to my studio. I think this
Thank
is the
you.
First time you've recorded in here.
You know, I think it might be.
And this is the first time we've been on mic together.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that doesn't count like our end of the year.
No, not counting that.
Yeah.
I mean, on a regular edition,
Good
this
point.
Is the first time we've been together.
Well, congratulations to us.
Yay!
So you're going to tell me about some music. Lots and lots of music this weekend.
There is lots and lots of music, and we don't have nearly enough time to cover it all, so we'll just hit the high points.
Okay.
Let's focus mostly on Saturday night because there's stuff happening all throughout the area. Let's start with Alma. Jesse Dean is playing at Warren's Rec Room. He's one of Winslow's favorite sons, kind of blues rock.
Now I look up ahead and I find it's all too far away. I still believe in all the dreams we had, dreams we both could share. I'm still reaching.
Earlier this year, he came out with a new full-length album. He's playing from 7 to 11 p.m. Admission is $8. That's Warren's Rec Room in Alma.
Sounds like a very good Saturday night.
Exactly. Then let's move north to Springdale. Sad Palomino is at Black Apple Crossing.
I don't think I've heard of them.
Sad Palomino, it's kind of straight up rock and punk, though they have some softer tunes, you know, a little bit softer around the edges.
Okay.
That's from 8 to 10 p.m. Then just down the street, John Shorter is at Emma Avenue Bar and Tap.
Okay.
John Shorter, to my ears, it's kind of your typical pop rock, heavy emphasis on the pop.
Okay. So variety all on Emma Avenue.
Exactly. And that show is from 9 to 11 p.m. Moving down to Fayetteville, Cadillac Jackson is at Kingfish.
Oh, yes.
Do you know about Cadillac Jackson?
I am familiar with them. I have yet to actually get to see them.
I saw them several years ago at mm-hmm. George's. They're a dance band.
Mm-hmm.
They offer a blend of hip-hop, electronica, and funk that they call Funktronica.
Mm-hmm. They sound like a lot of fun.
They are a lot of fun, and they get you moving. That begins at around 9 p.m. again at Kingfish in Fayetteville. Moving over to Eureka Springs, Rosenbridge is at Chelsea's Corner Bar.
Excellent, and they're coming in today, and they're scheduled to be on Friday's show.
Fantastic. And if you've never heard Rosenbridge, they're a strings-based folk music duo with a bit of rock thrown in for good measure, wouldn't you say?
I think so. That's accurate.
Run away with me, sail on the seas from the tears of a thousand songs. If every tale's little white shells upon the ocean floor, but don't you
show is from 9 p.m. to midnight with a $5 cover. That's at Chelsea's Corner Bar in Eureka Springs. Moving over to Bentonville, the other end of kind of the Arkansas area.
Everybody in the region. We're doing what we can.
We're trying to hit everybody. Randall Shreve will be at Core Public House in Bentonville. As he calls it, he performs vaudeville rock.
Right.
Which is kind of like indie rock with face paint and cabaret.
You make me. You make it all worthwhile, and you've got it there, but I've got it worse. Beautiful, always the words to call you beautiful. You make it
right. I think the performance part is the vaudeville part.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. That show is from 6 to 8 p.m. again at Core Public House in Bentonville. Now, moving on to Sunday, Block Street Block Party is all day in Fayetteville.
We don't have
nearly enough time to mention everybody who's playing. Needless to say, there's four stages, music from about noon to 7 p.m.
I think they have some going later this year, actually.
Okay,
so past dark, like up to dark, I think.
Needless to say, if you're looking for something other than Block Street Block Party,
okay,
the Nighthawks have an acoustic show at Sunrise Stage in Fayetteville.
Oh, nice.
If you haven't heard them, they're blues and roots rock and have, I don't know how else to describe them, but they're really fun. The show is $50. It's at Sunrise Stage in Fayetteville.
And a much smaller venue than Block Street Block Party.
Yeah, Sunrise Stage, it's about a 100-seat venue.
Okay.
Very intimate. That should be a really fun show.
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to a great weekend of music.
I am too.
Smile from ear to ear. Great day in the morning. Not ready for a loop.
Catch live music and unusual settings thanks to Artisphere this week.
Basically what it is short, informal, you know, sessions of music, chamber music that we take to non-traditional venues such as bars and cafes, places you wouldn't really expect to hear a Mozart string quartet.
That's off-the-grid pop-up concerts from Artisphere Orchestra. There's also a concert from Grammy-winning Third Coast Percussion inside the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks. Find out more in today's Of Note, coming up from 8 to 10 p.m.
Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art presents Chihuly in the Gallery and in the Forest June 3rd through August 14th. Dual exhibitions by artist Dale Chihuly, renowned for his innovative work in glass, paint, and neon, will open this summer, presented in the museum's new sculpture forest and in the special exhibition galleries. CrystalBridges.org for tickets and more information. KUAF is supported by our contributing listeners and by Malco Theaters, offering birthday parties, special events, and group rates for individuals and businesses. More information available on the web at malco.com. This is KUAF 91.3 FM in Fayetteville. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Thanks for listening, and have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday.